Edmund Burke's Reflections on the Revolution in France, first published in 1790, is written as a letter to a French friend of Burke's family, Charles Jean-François de Pont, who requests Burke's opinion of the French Revolution to date. Burke is a well-connected politician and political theorist of the late 18th century, though this tract would become his first significant work on the subject. In Reflections on the Revolution in France, Burke speaks at length on the development of the French Revolution and, notably, the developments of the French Assembly. The detainment of the French monarch Louis XVI and his wife Marie Antoinette, the seizure of church and aristocratic property and funds, and other subsequent radical changes unfolding in France to date. Plot summary. Burke's reply to De Pont is in the epistolary tradition. He directs his response to the addressee, De Pont, but it is clear that Burke's audience is more than just De Pont. Throughout the letter, Burke offers his summary on the actions taken by the French Assembly. However, he frequently reminds the reader that his knowledge of France is limited, and his accounts are often not of a first-hand nature. The account, being in the epistolary tradition, often takes the form of spontaneous effusions and uses an informal tone. However, what Burke offers here is his opinion on the revolution in France based on his opinion of what constitutes the best working society available to humankind. In this, he distinguishes what he believes in, abstractions like rights of man, that men have dignity and may pursue happiness, and what he believes will work in practice, how a government can equally provide for those rights among its citizens. This treatise on political theory, as it would come to be known, would be widely read by Burke's political contemporaries with polarizing reviews. Burke, a Whig, alienates himself from his party regarding the letter's negative response to the French Revolution. A previous proponent of several revolutions, notably in the newly minted United States, Burke elicits shock from his contemporaries in proposing the French in pursuing their new government. Reflections on the Revolution in France receives a positive review, however, from England's monarch, George III, establishing Burke as a political conservative. Ultimately, as Burke urges readers to retain established institutions like the monarchy, church, and the aristocracy, he implores his countrymen to seek the wise, if reactionary, course of their ancestors. Reflections on the revolutions in France earns itself a lasting place as one of the most influential arguments for conservatism in political philosophy. The letter, overall, questions many popular theories of the Enlightenment, a period that flourished during much of the 18th century and was spearheaded by writers like Jean-Jacques Rousseau, who spoke out against establishments like the monarchy and church, accusing them of corruption and oppression. Burke also brings himself into conflict with the Enlightenment and the sentiments of the French Revolution because he maintains that prudence is a wiser course of action than any radical act. He repeatedly uses the letter to denounce clubs like Jacobin and the Revolutionary Society in London, known for disseminating radical ideas opposing long-standing establishments like monarchies, inherited powers, and the church. Such radical thinkers, including Thomas Paine and Mary Wollstonecraft, would be Burke's loudest detractors and would establish Burke as an opponent to a popularly held theory of the time, the rights of man. In Reflections on the Revolution in France, Burke expounds on the folly of this particular revolution based on what he sees as a series of fundamental misunderstandings by those championing the rights of man. He cautions any country to remember its character and society over any single entity. He uses France as an analogy, but it is clear that he sees the character of the French and English, the chivalry and civility, as relatable. By forgetting their character, and by disbanding the representations of it, the crown, the manners, and aristocracy, and by placing their faith in a new kind of man, sophisters, as Burke refers to them, not only will the country, but so will each man, lose his noble character. He then argues that revolutions of this kind, ironically built on the rights of men, misunderstand greatly the character of man, and particularly his tangled relationship with power.